Okay, thank you for your generous and willing participation in the offering this morning and making the time to be here, and I trust that God is going to speak into your heart. In keeping with our theme of being thankful last week, we spoke about being grateful and being thankful and asking the Lord to help us open our eyes to see the things that we are grateful for. And we looked at the concept of how we always compare ourselves to those that have more than us instead of those that have less than us. And being thankful is a good thing, and we're going to continue to speak about that this morning. So to start off, I'd like to read a passage of Scripture from Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. So you can either follow us on the screen or on your device or on the physical Bible. Just out of interest, sake, I'd just like to get an idea of where we are at in terms of the trends. And how many people, for example, this morning are using a physical Bible with pages? Can you just see a show of hands? Okay, thank you. And how many are using an electronic device?
Wow.
Okay, and not to put anybody on the spot, how many are not using something but prefer to follow overhead? Okay, interesting. It's good to see where we're going with that. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 11 to 13. I'm reading from the second edition of the New Living Translation. Paul says, he writes to the church in Philippi, says, "Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret." Everybody say secret. "Of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty." Now we battle with that, don't we? "With plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Father, we acknowledge our dependency upon your presence this morning. Here access elke persoon hierso erken ons is maar net nietige mense. Daar's geen fancy preek of woorde wat ek met mense kan deel wat werklik waar 'n verskil kan maak in hulle lewens. Daarom bely ek, Here, ek is afhanklik van die invulling, die leiding van die Heilige Gees. Here, dit wat ons met mekaar vanoggend gaan bespreek, laat dit ons lewens verander. I thank you, God, that you watching over your word to perform it, that it'll achieve the purposes for which you send it forth. We don't want to go home the same way we came. We want to be more like Jesus and knowing you more as a result of our time spent together today. And we thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul mentioned some very interesting things in that little passage of Scripture there. And just the background, to give you a bit of background, he's explaining to the guys, "I know that you were concerned for my well-being, but I want you to know that I never lacked anything." And last week we spoke about being grateful when we're living in the land of plenty. Dis daarom vir ons maklik om dit te doen, nee. It's easy to be grateful when we have everything that we need. It's easy to be grateful when there's no lack. But Paul says something very significant here that I see this morning. He says he's learned to be grateful when there's plenty and when there's lack. When his stomach is full and when his stomach is empty. You know, we get that lack of feeling, magies vol, oogies toe. Isn't it so? But then, there's just something nice about that feeling. And I believe God meant it for us to be like that. One thing about heaven, I know this much for sure. That yes, it's going to be here on earth one day with a new heaven and a new earth when God comes down and establishes a city here. And everything is said and done and the fat lady is saying, and her brother, her skinny brother, and everything's done, then there's going to be no lack in heaven. And the statement that I'm going to make now might seem a little bit harsh, but just take the time to think about and let God reveal the significance of it to you. Lack of any kind is a curse. Think about that. Lack of any kind is a curse. Yeah, Paul says he's learnt, and in this particular translation it says he's learnt the secret. I wonder why a secret. We're going to look at that. And what is it that Paul came to know that could get him to say that, guys, whether there's plenty or whether there's little, I am content. I'm grateful for all of this. And we're going to look at that this morning and things that can help us live at that place where no matter what happens, we can say that we are content and we've learned this secret. It's easy to be grateful when we have plenty, but it's another thing when we are lack. So I'm going to look at five aspects this morning, 5 points or five factors, five keys that can help us be grateful in a time of lack. Is that okay with you this morning? Are we ready to learn and receive? Get ready for what God has to say this morning. Point number one that can help us is understanding what's really important or significant for where we are currently at in our lives. Sometimes having little or lack is not going to have a long-term effect on us at all. So understanding the significance of where we are at in our lives here and now. Having a better understanding is that the scripture speaks that we're in a perpetual season. It says that as long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest and light and dark, etc. So we're in a perpetual season. Your life is in a season. One thing that pastors hate to hear is when people come and say, Pastoor, die seisoen vir my in hierdie kerk het gegaan. Ek voel dis nou 'n seisoen om na 'n ander kerk toe te gaan. Well, sometimes that's true, but most of the time it's not. But there are seasons in our lives. You see, so many, you know, I don't know why we're going down this road, but just bear with me. So many people say, yeah, the Lord has called me to this fellowship. I know God has called. And then I ask, okay, well, Romans 11, 20, 29 says that the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. He doesn't undo their call. So when did God uncall you? It's like, anyway, be that as it may. Now, understand that there are seasons. So I believe that when we have an understanding of, you're just in a season, because in a season, in winter, there's a lack of fruit, isn't it? Okay? Some fruits. But there's a reason for that. That's the season. You'll get another season where there's that fruit again. When it's South Africa, well, yeah, we experience a summer rainfall. I think in the Cape, they experience a winter rainfall. But when we're in a season where there's a lack of rain, that's just the season. Dan, instead of aan daar te sit en te brom oor wat ons nie het nie, maybe we must say, Lord, help me understand the season of where I'm at in my life. So the point number one is understanding what's really important or significant for where we are currently at in our lives. Sometimes having lack has no long-term effect on us at all. Never make a long-term decision based on a temporary crisis. Never do that. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 31 says, those who use the things of the world should not become attached to them. For this world as we know it will soon pass away. So it doesn't say we can't use the things of the world. It just says don't become too attached to the things of the world. It's not wrong in having things. Just don't ever let the things have you. Big difference. Big, big difference. Okay, so that's the first point. Second point, and this is sometimes challenging. I've heard this expression come up in Christian circles almost in the beginning of me starting my walk with the Lord. People say, and if you've heard this before, shout amen so I can feel good up here, okay? That was a good place to say amen, by the way. How many of you have heard this before? Don't be so spiritual that you know earthly good. What does that mean? What does that even mean? We are all first a spirit. I said, we are all first a spirit conceived in the heart and the mind of God. He then chooses a day and a time and a place for us to be born. We then go in a body and we have a soul. But you're first a spirit. Don't be so spiritual that you know earthly good. Well, I'll give you one example of what that might be. For example, if you know that a person is... they're not born again. They're not living for the Lord. They just spiritually they're dead. So hierdie goed van die Bybel maak net nie vir hulle sin nie. En jy kom na hulle toe met jou hemelse taal. Hondai, shondai, rondai, yutai, yotai, atai, matai, and we all eat a bow tie. Hulle sal hulle nie met jou kan vereenselwig nie. That you unrelatable. You unrelatable. So that's what it means. This point is focusing on things above while still being grounded. Imagine if you're on such a spiritual high and you're talking all these deep philosophical scriptural principles and the hermeneutics of the gospel and then the other person is that all they're trying to do is just get through the day. They're just trying to see lig op in einde van die tunnel. They have no hope, and yeah, you come with all of the stuff. Key to that, focusing on things above while still being grounded. Colossians 3 and verse 2 in the message is a paraphrase. It's not a translation. So don't get bent out of shape if you think it's unscriptural and undoctrinal. It's just a paraphrase, okay, the message of die boodskap. Die boodskap sê die volgende. Colossians 3 in verse 2. Colossians 3 in verse 2 says this. I love this. I looked at it in all different translations preparing this. I thought, no, the message says it just the way I want to preach it this morning. Don't shuffle along with your eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. How awesome is that? Don't shuffle along with your eyes to the ground. Look up to what's happening around Christ. That's where the action is. And then it says, see things from his perspective. So, is there an inflation problem in heaven? Okay. Is there a corrupt government in heaven? Thank you, Jesus. Is there any form of recession in heaven? Is there a problem with crime and corruption in heaven? So from heaven's perspective, everything is hunky-dory. But ons bly nog steeds in sonnige Suid-Afrika. But here's the key. Focusing on things above while still being grounded. Onthou paar weke terug het ons gesê, hoe simpel gaan het wees vir die ou wat sê, my been is nie gebreek nie, halleluja, my been is nie gebreek nie, maar die ding is gebreek man. Jy het spelde in en aerials in die... Your leg is broken. That's a fact. But the truth is God can heal it. And that's the key, people. That's spiritual maturity, living with that tension. And when we don't have this thing in place, it will be easy for us to brom when we have little and to be happy when we have happy when we have plenty. And then brom when we have little and be happy when we have plenty. Paul somehow had a glimpse into this secret. So that's the second point. Focusing on things above while still being grounded. Third point. And not even the English language describes this like this. And also the words used in the translations in the scripture doesn't bring this across. But I'm going to. That's why there's a pastor. Yeah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Okay. Understanding the difference between joy and happiness. Understanding the difference between joy and happiness. One could say that happiness comes from the things on the outside of us. Okay? Whether he or she smiles at me, the weather, what the food tasted like, the service at the restaurant you go to, how long you waited for the food when that Leviathan inside you was screaming, feed me, feed me. Whether the waitress or waiter got the order right first time, the traffic on your way to work in the morning, the kids' report cards, the month-end financials, what the balance sheets say when you do stock taking, whatever the context may be, those things, we could say that those external things determine our happiness. But joy comes from within. Joy is deeper. That's why the scripture doesn't speak about the fruit of the Spirit is love, happiness, peace, da-da-da-da, etc., etc., etc. You can read that up in Galatians 5, verse 22. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Everybody say joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Spirit. Nou gaan ons bietjie dieper in hierdie ding in. Understanding the difference between happiness and joy. I must admit, I'm not happy when I have to wait after I place an order, 45 minutes later, the waiter then comes and tells me, no, that which you ordered is not available, please order something else. 45 minutes later. I'm not so happy. I want to put this whole Christianity thing aside just for a moment, manifest. Have my say. But need that affect my joy? You know, we say, the devil it may come steal. Hy was nie nawe jou nie, man. Hy sê, hy is elders besig. You just gave it over to him. There, take my joy. Take my happiness. And we inflate our lips to 20 bar. Is it making sense this morning, people? Understanding the difference between joy and happiness. Joy is deeper. Happiness can fluctuate based on external things that happen around us, but joy is deeper. Something that if we don't let him, sloofoot, my devil can't come near it. He can't. Came out in the pre-service prayer meeting this morning with Zelda praying. Lord, just keep our joy there. Don't let our joy be taken away. Don't let us lose our joy. Why? Because Nehemiah 8 and verse 10 says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It keeps us strong. It keeps us strong, ladies and gentlemen. So that's the third point there, that understanding the difference between joy and happiness. Okay. Point number four. And point three gets us to this about the Spirit. And point number four is ensuring that your spirit is stronger than your flesh. Ensuring that your spirit is stronger than your flesh. Great principle, Mozzie. Fantastic. Mahudunekdit. Well, the classic example of the two dogs. One dog is a dog that is fed well and looked after. And the other dog is not fed at all. It's weak and thirsty. Worn out and malnourished. En hierdie twee honde besluit op 'n dag hulle hou nie meer van mekaar nie. And they have a groot fight. Groot fight. Which dog do you think is going to win? Now we know that saying it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog, yeah. But naturally speaking, if the one dog is like, he sting like a butterfly, dance, and the other one is like, oh, he's pop, he's op. Daar een hond gaan sy pynt afklap, man. And that's how it is with the spirit and the flesh. So this point is making sure that your spirit is stronger than your flesh. How do you do that? Make sure that you feed your spirit more than the flesh. And it's so simple, but yet so challenging to do, isn't it? Nou, some of us, we just have one meal a day. En as daar enigiets rondom daai vleis is, nee, dan is jy kwaad. Because al hoor niks moet op die bord wees, ek soek net vleis. Dan al snip vleis. Anything else doesn't belong on your plate. It's like wrong. Dit hoort nie daar nie. Some of us have one meal a day. Others eat once a day and that's the whole day. Others on a seafood diet. We see food, we eat it. You know? So we all... But think about how many times you feed your body. Are we as diligent and disciplined in feeding our spirits as much? I can tell you this much. If we could see, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a ghostbuster. Okay, ek gaan soek nie vir spooke agter elke klip nie. But if we could get a glimpse into the spiritual realm, as to the principalities and powers and forces of darkness and rulers of the wicked, of wicked things in heavenly places around us all the time, vying for our attention, coming to steal and attack us, sow seeds of doubt, fear, lie, sickness, all around us all the time. How much would we not be doing to make sure our spirits are strong, that our minds are full of the Word of God? How different are, what would you be doing to make sure that you're spiritually sharp and strong? Compared to how many times we shove something down our pie hole. It would be so different. So this fourth way that we can ensure that we are content and joyful and And happy and grateful, even in lack, is to make sure that our spirits are stronger than our flesh. Nou mense, dit is so maklik om so te preek, maar dankie Heer, hy is 'n God van genade en hy, the scripture says he knows that our frames are but dust and we are but just a vapor. Met ander woorde, hy verstaan ons man. God gets us. He knows that our flesh is weak. He knows it. But we can't use this excuse, ek is maar net 'n mens. Ja, jy is maar net 'n mens. Maar as jy wedergebore is en jy het toegelaat, die Heilige Gees woon ook in jou. Daai selfde Heilige Gees wat betrokke was in die skepping van die aarde en alles, daai selfde Heilige Gees wat die Here laat opstaan uit die dood, is daai eenste Heilige Gees wat in jou woon. That's the Holy Spirit that can give you this heavenly unction that affects your mind. You then with your mind make a decision with your will to say, flesh, shut up. I'm in charge. You will not have that 16th ice cream. Ek sê maar net so. Or you can say, wat is lockdown, bring dit maar. And then we'll start expanding our ministry. And it's not just eating things. It can be anything, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm just... So, and that is how when we let you realize... And I'm going to give you the scripture. I tied it up with this point, Mark 14 and verse 38. Jesus says in Mark 14 and verse 38, he says, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. He actually warns us, and remember we've shared this principle before that the redemptive saving work of the cross protects us from the consequences of sin. But never removes us from the presence of sin. Because we live in a fallen world. We serve a perfect God, but we live in a fallen world. Folks, this world is broken. Humanity is broken. Our governments are broken. So we're surrounded by temptation all the time. All the time. All the time. That's why 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, let him who thinks he stands, take heed, be careful, lest he fall. And verse 13 goes on to say that no temptation has come across your path that is too great for you to bear. And God is gracious in that with every temptation he provides, I like the translations that say the way of escape. Not just a way, he provides a way. God provides the way. Hy gee vir ons die uitweg, want hy weet, we struggle against flesh. God knows that. God knows that. Okay. So in Mark 14 and verse 38, Jesus, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And God knows that. So, point number four, how do we ensure that our spirit is stronger than our flesh? Just make sure we're feeding our spirit more than we are our flesh. In what ways? How do we feed our spirits? One way is coming to church. Regular fellowship. Okay? Some people sit at home and watch people on TV and stuff like that. Okay, that's great. But when you need somebody to pray for you, when you need somebody to speak to, when you need a shoulder to cry on and a listening ear, when you just need somebody there, when you need a friend, are you going to wrap your arm around your Samsung 50-inch flat screen? Nee, ek dink nie so nie. When you need to make yourself accountable to somebody, of inspraak te hê in jou lewe, are you going to get the Samsung TV to do that? Bollocks, man. Don't give me that talk that you fellowship at home with whatever. Wake up, man. That's mense in ander kerke. Julle is almal sharp. Coming together in a care group, doing life together, reading the Bible, listening to gospel music, focusing on things that are positive, sharing your testimony, giving. Giving makes you feel good. Just don't advertise it on social media, see. I have a challenge with that. I believe you lose some of the blessing when you let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That's what the Bible says. When you give, don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Don't advertise on social media who you blessed with whatever. Amen. Okay? How did I get down this? Lord, help me. about the flesh and the spirit. But is this making sense this morning, church? Okay. So that's how we do it, making sure that we feed our spirits more. Oh yeah, I was saying, how do we do that? How do we? So there are various ways in which you can feed your spirit. Praying. Praying. And then also, guys, when we pray, make time to give God a chance to answer back. Make time to give God a chance to answer back. And remember, prayer is more a case of being with someone than it is doing something. That's because how can the scripture say, pray without ceasing? In other words, never stop praying. Ek moet my tanden borsel, ek moet stort, ek moet die, ek moet die. Well, wherever you are, wherever you are, you can experience that intimacy with the Holy Spirit. If we just choose to recognize the hand of God around us. And so, yeah. Point number five. As we start to land this thing. I love how Paul, in that passage of Scripture, in verse 13, goes on to say, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that does not mean that I can get a MotoGP bike and get on it and I get on this thing and I can say, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength and think that I'm even going to get anywhere on that starting grid. Can you see how out of context it is? Jy kan nie niks doen nie, nie oefen nie, and think that you can stand on a 100-meter starting line of a sprint and think you're going to outrun Usain Bolt or whoever, and say that I can do everything through Christ. They praat nonsense, man. This is the context in which Paul is speaking about here. He's saying that whether I've got plenty or whether I've got a little, whether I'm hungry, whether I'm starving, whether it's going good, whether it's going bad, I can be content through Christ who gives me strength. What a difference. What a difference. What a difference. You see, he recognized who and what enabled him to do this. Now, you can have a nice 5-point sermon from a pastor who makes jokes and stuff like that, but ladies and gentlemen, unless Jesus takes this and by the Spirit makes it real in your life, you know what you've got? You've just had somebody share 5 points with you and wasted half an hour of your Sunday morning. Come on, I'm being real here now. Isn't it true? You need Christ to make this a reality in your life. That's why Paul goes on to say, so the fifth point is, we need to realize that we need Jesus to make all of these things, these 5 points and others, whatever the Holy Spirit reveals to you, together, come together in your life to make a significant difference and to make it real. Therefore, he goes on to say in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So those are the 5 points. As we start to land this, it amazed me that this translation calls it a secret. Think about this for a few minutes. A secret is somebody, is something that somebody selects to tell you. They select it. That's why it's a secret. It's a secret. That's a secret. They select this bit of information and they select who they can give it to. Now, if it's a secret, what does it tell you about what it is, first of all? And second of all, what does it tell you about what God thinks about you? Why secret? I don't know about you, but I'm not going to share a secret with a blabbermouth. I'm not going to share a secret with somebody who just cannot keep a secret. I'm going to share a secret with somebody that I trust. In all probability, because I care for that person, or I have something in mind for that person pertaining to that secret. And that secret is like, privileged information. It's something worthwhile keeping. And this particular translation says that Paul says, other translations say that I have learned, and others say I'm well instructed, I'm well informed. This one says, Paul says he learned the secret. Because it's something special. That says that God entrusts you. He entrusts you with something special. it trusts that you'll take this. You'll nurture it, you'll care for it, you'll watch over it, you'll let it grow and develop in your life. So that you can have insight into this thing that he has. It's not for onverskillige mense, but that doesn't take his word at face value and just foot his foot. It's about somebody that he can entrust. That's why it's a secret. Now, this thing about lack, this thing just rattled my cage all over again. Remember the last time you lost something of value to you? Or something was stolen from you? Or got broken or destroyed? Remember that hurt? Anybody? Please? Anybody? Thank you. There's been a lack of feeling there. Okay. Especially when there's a series of scriptures that I've memorized concerning protecting my home. Every time I leave, I just speak it out and I confess it and make the declaration in the spiritual realm. And guess what? When I was a listed speaker to speak at a rally, they came into my home and they done affirmative shopping. They took my bakkie, they took the electronic equipment, and hulle besluit, hulle daai goed meer nodig as wat ek gehad. They decided to come and take it. Ten spyte van al die teksverse wat ek so geproklameer het, en gekoopt het, en it's part of all of that. They still came. And I remember, I rode up from the South Coast with my missus on the back, 220 plus VAT. Because the deer was plat geslaan, and there was no security guard, the eyes had oopgestaan. And I remember that feeling. And on the way, I was thinking in my mind, what I'm going to do to whoever if I just got them. And then because it took us quite a while, from the South Coast back up here, the Holy Spirit still had time to deal with me. And that's a way of showing real Christian love and compassion and forgiveness, isn't it? Because the only difference between you and that housebreaker is the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving grace. Anister, as jy net so sleg. And I remember that feeling. Okay, so a lot of us have been there and you can relate to what I'm saying this morning. But now here's the kicker. Are you ready for this? If everything belongs to God, because the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and all that is therein. And the scripture speaks about us being stewards. Now what is a steward? A steward looks after something that belongs to somebody else. So if we're these nice Christian people, and we believe that everything belongs to God, can anything ever really be stolen from us? And then I realized that. So guess what? Because God is God, he restored so much better than what was stolen from my home in the first place. And that's how it works. Because when the devil comes and touches somebody who's in financial covenant with God, hasn't for a pak slaap wat skrik vir niks. Rather than steal from somebody who's stealing from God, don't steal from somebody who's honoring God financially, because God's restoration will outclass the works of the devil. So the devil lost in the end of the day. But we've got to come to realize that if it all belongs to God, can something really be stolen from you if you're just looking after everything that belongs to God anyway? No, ladies and gentlemen, he can't. And that's when we come to understand these things, that will help us to be at the place in our lives where they will come a commercial word. So even I quoted those scriptures, even though I'm in covenant with God, etc., etc., the devil still got something right. He won that little battle over there, but he so lost the war. Really, he did. I remember the first time that happened to me. Colette and I were busy presenting a discipleship course to people that we had the privilege of leading to the Lord. This was many years ago. Anyway, a long time ago. And our vehicle was parked outside and somebody came and stole the radio out of the car. Yes, I wasn't happy. I just came out, I said, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for sevenfold restoration for this radio that's been taken out of the car. And that radio didn't even fit properly. It was loose. It would rattle. And the one time Colette and I, we were having intense fellowship in the car. And I got our radio gevat. With my linker hand, I rik om uit our dash out. I threw it on the back seat. So that's how much that radio was worth to me. So an affirmative shopper came and took that radio, and guess what? It was replaced with a sound system. Die sound system by you. Die voertuig ry in die straat af. Enorme plaat in die ruit en die windscreen wiper rattle agter, maar jy het klank, man, maar the sound system was worth more than the car. That's what it was replaced with. And I came to understand that principle, that when you are in financial covenant with God, jy daar hoekom ek kom word. Laat hom kom. Let him come steal. Only if you're in financial covenant with God. Otherwise, you're just a sitting duck. So, to recap, Paul says he learned this secret. Five things that will help us just quickly. Number one, understanding what's really significant and important for where we are at in our lives. And sometimes lack has no lasting consequences in our lives. Point number two, focusing on things above, on what's happening around Christ, because that's where the action is, while still staying grounded at the same time. Number three, understanding the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness can be described as things that affect us on the outside, and joy is something from deep within. Number four, ensuring that our spirits are stronger than our flesh, while making sure we feed our spirits more. Point number five, realizing that it is Jesus. Only Jesus. Paul ends off by saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, you're in a place in your life this morning where you realize you could do with those five factors and you're thinking, yes, Mozzie, don't you have another five? Because I need all the help I can get. You came to the right place this morning. And we're here not to play church. It's good to see each other. It's good to fun and to joke and have coffee and fellowship. But we're here to let Jesus mold us and change us and shape us. Is that okay? So if you're at a place in your life where you realize, Lord, I've been grateful at times where there's plenty, but I really need help with learning to be thankful in times of lack. If that's you, pray with me this morning. Right there where you're seated and you're watching online, just do business with God. If there's something that's distracting you, the dog's barking, the kids or whatever, just maybe you need to close the bedroom door wherever you're at, or when you do watch this, or yeah, this morning, as the Spirit of God has spoken into your heart, let's just be real with God. And you don't have to pray exactly like this, but along these lines and say, Daddy God, in Jesus' name, you know that I'm just a human being and I have flesh that I have to deal with. But you've chosen to come live inside of me. And Jesus, I need your help. Like the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus, I'm asking you to strengthen me. Help me to see these five points and whatever else that you reveal to me, Holy Spirit. Help me to live in such a way that whether I've got plenty or whether I've got nothing, I can be grateful because I've got Christ. And I know there are difficult times ahead, Lord God. Give me the ability for where I am at to be grateful and recognize the season that I'm in, to continuously feed my spirit, to fix my eyes on things around you while still being grounded, to discern the difference between joy and happiness, and realizing what's significant and what's unimportant. And as we're praying like this, maybe you're watching online or you're here this morning and you don't even have this relationship with Jesus. You feel that you've done so much wrong in your life and the devil is using that as a wedge between you and God. And if you like that fix this morning, and I'm not talking about going to heaven one day. I'm talking about experiencing the goodness and the deliverance and the power of God here and now. If you know that there are things in your life, and miskien is jy onseker oor jou saligheid, oor die ewige lewe. Dis fyn, ons bid vir jou op vanoggend. You have that place this morning and you're not sure in your relationship with God. And you want a special prayer for that. If that's you, just quickly lift up your hand. And once I've seen your hand, you can put it down. Anybody like that? At the back there, thank you. Over here, thank you. I see hands going up. Bless you guys. Thank you. Anybody else? Bless you. Thank you. Bless you. Put your hands down again. Father, I pray for your precious family, my brothers and my sisters, the family of God, where we've raised our hands this morning and say, Lord, ons is net bietjie onseker, daar is iets tussen ons en u. I thank you, Jesus, that I say it again, that you're God's son. I believe that you died and that you rose again from the grave. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sin, and if that issue or that thing, that wedge is in my life because of me, forgive me, God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. And Jesus, in a way that only you can, would you take that thing out of the way between me and you? And from today being the first day of the rest of my life, help me to live the rest of my days following hard after God like a deer pants for the water in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord God, for an infilling of your Spirit for all those we've prayed for this morning, those that raised their hands and those that didn't as well, Lord, for all of us. Fill us with your Spirit and help us to live this sermon out, that it becomes practical and real in our lives to the praise and glory of your name. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a praise offering this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We're grateful, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in our lives. Thank you for what you're still going to do. We bless you for that in Jesus' mighty name. I'm going to pray the final prayer of blessing over you, and then we're going to stand together and sing our way out of the building this morning. Thank you so much for coming. We love you dearly. We have a team of people that pray for you regularly, and we trust in God with you that he's going to do amazing things in your life. Until such time, do it to them before they do it to you and show random acts of kindness. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Goeie dag agter julle. Met iets. Hallelujah. Bless you guys. Met iets, ja. Met ijs of zonder ijs.